Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I was introduced that I would speak something philosophical. Anyone interested in philosophy? Well, there are 4 or 5 hands up. Okay, let's give it a try. No one is interested. Few are interested in philosophy. That's good. In Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by Lord Jagannath, in whose honor this festival is organized, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Jagannath, Krishna says that out of thousands of people, hardly one is interested in philosophy. Philosophy, for all of you who are interested in philosophy, is derived from the Greek philosophia, which means love of truth. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushanang sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Out of many thousands of people, only one is interested in perfecting their life. So this is a very joyful festival. Festival should mean joyful. And we hope that you're all feeling joyful. If you have any energy left after all that chanting, you could tell me, are you feeling happy? Are you all feeling happy? Happy. Very happy. Should be happy. Because Krishna is always happy. Krishna means the Supreme Lord. He's supreme in everything. So he's the supreme happy. And this festival is in honor of Krishna. So everyone should be happy. But Krishna also speaks philosophy. If we say the word philosophy, no one feels very happy. They think that sounds very boring or too complicated. Or anyway, I've got many other things to do. So why philosophy? But philosophy means love of truth. And what is the truth? Well, there are many things that are true. One thing that's true is that everyone wants to be happy. Anyone disagree with that? Anyone not want to be happy? If anyone doesn't want to be happy, let us know. We won't give you any prasadam. We will still give you prasadam. So everyone wants to be happy. And if we examine, we will see that not only humans, but everything that every living being does at every moment is for the purpose of happiness. Is it not? Everything we do is to try to be happy, or at least to avoid danger and discomfort. So basically, every living being, including the trees, they grow toward the light because they feel nourished by the light. So every living being is looking for happiness. But as Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, just a little aside, Bhagavad Gita, sometimes people say, to try to contextualize it for people who don't, in the West, who don't know what Bhagavad Gita is, sometimes they say that Bhagavad Gita is the Hindu Bible. That is a very vague description because the Bible, we're told, or at least I was told when I went to school, I don't know what they teach now, but I was told that we should just believe the Bible. It is a scripture. So we're told that Bhagavad Gita is the Hindu Bible because it is the, well, it has a different role. The Bible is the one book of Christianity, and the Hinduism, well, that's a very broad term, but Bhagavad Gita is the foundational philosophical understanding. But in Bhagavad Gita, the whole emphasis is different. It's not just believe, you just believe, but the emphasis is try to understand the truth. What is reality? It's a completely different approach. It's a philosophical approach. So, getting back to what I was going to say, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he summarizes the whole situation of the material world in just two words. You could save yourself 20 years of study in the kindergarten, primary school, secondary school, university. You can get all your history, economics, sociology, science, everything in two words. You can understand everything about the material world in two words. They are dukhalayam ashashvatam. This is the description of the material world. It means that this is a place of misery and everything here is temporary. So, everyone wants to be happy. The truth is that everyone wants to be happy. And another truth is that no one is attaining happiness. We are all trying to be happy. It's not that we don't get any happiness, but in this material world, whatever happiness is there is always mixed with distress. And even if we do get a situation which we think is very nice, we can't remain in it because everything in this world is temporary. What is the distress? Well, there are many kinds of distress. Irish weather is distressful. I don't have to tell you that. In Bhagavad Gita, again, remember this is a book of philosophical understanding. It's not scripture, you just have to believe in it or you go to hell. It's a book of it's a book that everyone can understand. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna points out, for anyone who's still tuning into this incredibly boring philosophy, but which is vital to all of us, though we don't like to hear, but we should hear, because it's vital to all of us. Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, what is the distress? He gives four characteristics, four principal forms of distress that none of us can avoid. They are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease. No one can avoid whatever we do. We can do yoga and eat health food, and there are all kinds of things you can do to try and live a long and healthy life. And we might live a long and healthy life. Those who are really expert in yoga, even today, they can live for hundreds of years. But everyone has to die. We don't want to die. No one wants to die. Even the slug crawling in the grass, miserable existence. He doesn't want to die. He's attached to that existence. So Krishna points out that life in the material world is miserable, but at the same time, everyone is looking for happiness. So Krishna points out, how do we find happiness? Well, the first thing is, if we are to be happy, we can't be happy in a place where there is birth, death, old age and disease. Well, we might think, well, when you die, it's all over. So just enjoy yourself as much as you can while you can. But then again, Krishna teaches us in Bhagavad Gita that death means the death of the body, but the soul is eternal. We get another birth. That's why Some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and some people are born with a plastic spoon in their mouth, like all of you taking the food now. We couldn't offer you silver spoons. You're taking it with plastic spoons. So we all get different situations according to what we have done and what kind of consciousness we have cultivated in previous lives. If we live like an animal, if our goal of life is nothing more than simply to enjoy our body, then we have wasted our human form of life, and in the next life we will get the form of an animal. If we lead a godly life, we can get a birth in a higher sphere of existence. But as long as we maintain the thought, the consciousness, that I want to enjoy this material world, then we have to get born in it again and again and again to attempt to enjoy it. But we have to suffer. We cannot avoid. In this material world, there is always suffering. So the condition in the spiritual world, that is our natural situation, that is one of Sat Chit Ananda. That is one of eternity, no death. That is one of full, clear consciousness, of understanding who we are, who is God, and what is our relationship. And Ananda means bliss. We are all meant for happiness. We all want happiness. That means that we are meant for happiness. Just like if you feel hungry, that means that you need food, and food is available. If we feel thirsty, it means we need water. And by the grace of God, water is available. We want happiness. By the grace of God, that is available. But we have to know where to find full happiness, eternal happiness, with no distress, no distraction. So what is that happiness? Well, we can look at Krishna, Jagannath. He's always smiling. Krishna is always happy. What is full happiness? The full happiness is the happiness of love. Everyone is looking for love. Actually, nowadays, many people, they're not looking for love because they're too afraid to look for love. They're too afraid to enter into any relationship because they're afraid that the pain that is caused by giving our love and not getting it reciprocated or getting it falsely reciprocated. But actually, we all desire love. Krishna is the person who we can love fully, in full happiness, eternally, and we will not be cheated. Krishna is that person. As long as we are trying to avoid Krishna and place our hopes for happiness elsewhere, then we will always be disappointed. If we place our hope in Krishna, then we will never be disappointed. In this material world, everyone is trying to be happy independently of Krishna, but Krishna is the central object of love for everyone. So this festival is a celebration of love for Krishna. And this festival is eternal. Now we might think, oh, it's not eternal, it's all going to be finished in an hour or two. But actually it's eternal because Krishna is eternal. We are all eternal beings. These bodies that we are now sitting in, they will finish. But we are all eternal spiritual beings, and we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And in the spiritual world, it's an eternal festival. There's no going to the factory, no going to the office, no work, all play, all bliss. We are all meant for bliss. But we don't know where to go, how to go. So Krishna, he invites us to his world of eternal bliss. He comes to this world. He invites us. By coming to this world, Krishna invites us, don't waste your time here rotting in this miserable material world. Come with me. By this festival, Krishna is calling us to go to him in the spiritual world where we can live eternally and blissfully. So that was a philosophical talk, but real philosophy should not be armchair philosophy. It should be some real substance, something we can use in our life, or it should be our life. Philosophy is love of truth. Our life should be based on truth instead of falsity. Mostly everyone's life is based on falsity, on the hope that we shall be happy in this world. That is a false hope. Not that we should become hopeless, but we should find out the real hopeful place. That hopeful place is the lotus feet of Krishna. If we take refuge in Krishna, then we will be delivered from this material world. And how do we take refuge of Krishna? Simply by chanting his names. By chanting the names of Krishna, we automatically link with Krishna. So it's a very great philosophy, a very deep philosophy. It's a whole way of life. And we invite you to find out more. We have regular discussion programs and teaching people how to perform bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion to Krishna. But I'll just finish up this short talk with some practical philosophy for everyone. That practical philosophy is chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.